Matthew 14, starting at verse 13. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Let's pray for Roger. Lord, we thank you for Roger. We thank you for all that you've given him to share with us this morning. And we pray now that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit afresh. And may your Holy Spirit speak your words into our lives now. Amen.
That story that Debbie has read to us is the only parable or event in the ministry of Jesus, a miraculous event that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. So it must be pretty important that every one of the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all wanted this story in their record of our Lord's life and ministry. In actual fact, it's one of 3 events, but this is the only miraculous one. There are only 3 events that are recorded in all 4 Gospels, apart from the death resurrection of our Lord. The first is the ministry of John the Baptist, where he presents Jesus as the Word of God and as the prophet, and prophesies that he's going to pour out his Spirit. Just like he's been baptizing in the water, Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. The last one is in when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. So one's at the beginning of his ministry, and the second one is when he's riding into Jerusalem, and they all cry out, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna." He comes meek and riding upon the foal, the colt of an ass, and the ride into Jerusalem. So at the beginning, he's going to baptize you with the Spirit and listen to my ministry of repentance. End, he's coming in and he's riding in to take the kingdom and to bring the kingdom in as a different sort of kingdom that doesn't ride a white charger with lots of troops and meeting violence with violence. He comes in meek and lowly, riding on an ass. And then in the middle of his ministry, there is this story, the only one that records the miraculous event in all 4 Gospels. Got it? Remember that? How many of you were in the open-air event at Trafalgar Square yesterday? That's not bad. Faith got some tickets, some little stickers printed, and Jackie went running around sticking them on to people. She stuck one on me. That's partly because we wanted to know how many people went. And I think it's about 25, was it? 22. Oh, goodness me. But there were 1 or 2 who didn't get a sticker. How many people again? Yeah, you see, there's quite a good number there already, forgetting everybody else. Most of the things that happen that are really important, very important, happen in the open air. Do you like being in the open air? Yeah. Who is coming next Saturday to the church on the streets. Come on. They didn't have buildings in those days. I know we've got to keep the rain off our heads, but sometimes you can do it with umbrellas instead of buildings. We've got to get into the place where people see that we're there. And this particular meeting that we were at on Saturday, I thought was quite significant in a way. It wasn't vastly large. It wasn't 5,000 like we've just been reading in the open air that Jesus had. It was about 500. Be about that? Anybody? About 500. And so we're quite down, really, on the Lord's activities. But nonetheless, we were on the Lord's activity. And the 500 of us gathered, particularly to pray for the young people and the whole business of knifing. The knife crime is just ridiculous of what's going on. A society that can't really control itself. We're not mature enough to be able to live amongst each other in such a way that we don't produce violence. And so we were particularly crying out for these wasted lives of young people. And we had a lot of young people up there, some beautiful looking young people on the platform in Trafalgar Square. And Faith and I were sort of wandering around, and we got shoved along at once or twice with the young people. They mistook us for young people. And of course, this was out of that work that Les Isaac has set up to have a bunch of people ready to rush in when there's a crisis and start praying. Sort of a hardcore group of prayers to meet the tragedies and the misunderstandings and the things that go wrong in our society, in the city in particular. So Les was leading it, and we had a large number of black leaders there. That was lovely. And we had representatives. In fact, Les sent out a little message saying, would you all please, all the leaders and the bishops and the so-and-sos and whoever they were, let them turn out with their ecclesiastical garb on. That's a bit difficult for me. So I wore my Norwegian pullover. But they couldn't see it because it was so wet. I was wearing my raincoat. And anyway, it was rather lovely to be there. And I tell you something I never ever expected when I began ministry, what was it, 60-something years ago. I never, because things were very different, I never expected the cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church, dressed from top to bottom in his pink, fancy, styled dress, come up and thank me for the little bit I threw in at the end as a sign of farewell exhortation. Because you know what Les Sutton is, Les Isaac is like. He just grabbed me in a few minutes before the end and said, just give something, just give it. And I wasn't expecting to do anything. And he shoved me forward, and I had to do a preach off the cuff, which I've done so many times before. And this pink-dressed, very impressive cardinal in his ecclesiastical garb came up and thanked me. Well, it was nice. I enjoyed it. He gave me the opportunity just to let go, and pour something out. But why do I say that? Because 50 years ago, that would never have happened. The only thing that was missing, and I loved it all in that sense, that everybody was together, showing that all the different denominations are represented. There are lots of bishops and things around. Like Gilbert and Sullivan says, the bishops in their shovel hats were plentiful as tabby cats. They were all over the place, and they were all there showing we were actually all together. This does not often happen. The Archbishop of Canterbury wasn't there, but one or two big noises. And together we were saying, we want to see God intervene into this situation, which is, I don't want to be too dramatic, it's destroying our relationships and society. It is making us relate together in fear rather than in faith. A and confidence. And it was very wonderful that afterwards we had opportunity, well, and before, often terrific opportunity to pray for different people. Some I remember, some I don't. But there's one lovely black pastor who wanted prayer because he wanted to know more energy in his ministry and so on. And I told him once again, and as I said again and again, I want to say it to all of us, I believe God has brought the church to this country, particularly the black community, in order to stir us back again into being the place where we sent people out there. Now they've come back here to get us back on track, because the church has become so quiet and they're not seen. Is anybody doing anything about knife crime? What we were saying is we're out there praying. Yes, we are. We're first of all calling upon God. Secondly, we're the people who do actually minister to young people and try to change them and have a different attitude to heart and life. And so on. And we were seen. And you'll be seen on Saturday if you do church on the streets. And Jesus was seen because he was there in the open air as John was baptizing people. And John pointed him out, says, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was there at the end when he rode into Jerusalem, another open air. You see, the church is always in the open air, hardly ever indoors. And there he rides into Jerusalem and challenges us to follow him. Take up our cross and follow him. As he rode into Jerusalem, which was the same thing as riding to the cross, to die for the sin of the world. And we are to follow him. And they followed him out into the desert, because he was doing so many good things amongst them. They wanted more. Well, his mother prophesied before he was born. Mary, she said that the Lord would come and feed the hungry with good things, and the rich he would send empty away. The Messiah would come, and everybody knew that this feeding of the 5,000 was a kind of anticipation of the totality of God's kingdom. And when they saw Jesus feeding the 5,000, well, actually, it wasn't Jesus who fed the 5,000, was it? It was the disciples. They came and said, "Look, they're hungry, they've been here for a long time, we send them away to the villages." And the response came back. Jesus said, "You feed them." Do you ever find that when you pray? You say, "Lord, please will you do this, will you do that?" And you say, "You do it." Did he tell you that? I know a lot of people who've found that they are the answer to their own prayers. Because God is working together with us. He's not a do-it-yourself God. He's a do-it-together God. And he put bread into their hands, having blessed it, or at least he blessed God, I should say. That's better. I know some of the old versions say he blessed the bread. He didn't bless the bread. He blessed God for the bread. Huh? Do you give thanks at the table when you eat? Hope so. It's not old-fashioned. It goes back 2,000 years, I agree. But it's a very good way of reminding the Lord and ourselves that we're here and we're dependent on his provision and of his life in us. And the feeding of the 5,000, of course, as usual, Jesus did it. He blessed God. He broke the bread. He gave it to them through the disciples. What has the Lord put into your hands now you've prayed? Well, take it out and share it with anybody you can find and everybody you can find and whoever you find and wherever you are. You do it. You feed them. Give them something to eat. You know, people are hungry. Loads of those people in the crowd were hungry. They were hungry for God. They were hungry for his Spirit. They were hungry for his word. That's why they turned out in the bitter cold. I was frozen. Well, it's my own fault I didn't. We did on Saturday morning. We did the Bible school. So I didn't have time to have breakfast. And then we rushed up because I was already late. Faith was there at Trafalgar Square. And I got there late. And I just missed Graham Kendrick, who started it off and then went home. But I stayed there for 2 hours, freezing cold, and getting more and more as though by the time I went home and had a really, really hot bath, which eventually I did. And it's so much more pleasurable to have a really, really hot bath when you're freezing, freezing, freezing cold. So get out in the streets there. March for Jesus. Let people know the church is in business. We're there praying. We're there asking God to help us to put something into our hands, to mete it out and to give it out to these kids who haven't a clue unless we tell them that God loves, God is love, and God loves them, and that he puts that love into our hands to get on with the business of serving throughout the world. That's why this one and only miraculous healing story is in all of the Gospels. It's so important. It is an anticipation. It is a foretaste. It is a taste before the time of the last great banquet that the Bible is always looking forward to, when we will sit down with the Lord and eat in his kingdom. He reminded us of that before he died. He said, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until we sit down and I eat it in the banquet of heaven, in the coming again, when the kingdom arrives in its fullness. So the kingdom of God has come, but it's still coming. And we pray. Do we pray? Your kingdom come. Not a bad daily one. You could start off with the John the Baptist bit I mentioned, introducing Jesus. Lord, please fill me with your spirit today. You baptize me with your spirit. Take me out in your spirit. We could be praying like, I want the kingdom of God to come. I want to see Jesus coming again, riding out of heaven and bringing all those who've loved and served him and those who are people who've been waiting for his return. And then also, Lord, do the miraculous, do the impossible, do something through me. Give me a bit of bread so I can take it out and serve it to whoever I can find. Are you a church like that? Am I a church like that? Let's keep asking ourselves, reminding ourselves, and pray and think to those things daily. Some people say, well, I don't know, I start off praying, I don't know what else to pray. Well, one of the best ways to pray is to just pick out things out of the Bible and pray those. And we're told anyway how to pray. We're told, Father, we're told that we might do his will. We pray that the kingdom might come. We pray that we'll be forgiven our sins and that we can forgive the sins of others. Plenty of things there to pray. So just pray and keep praying and live in that context of our Lord. Now, there are lots of things I should and could and possibly ought to say about this wonderful passage. It was in the Old Testament anticipated with the manna that was given every day. That was supernatural. That was a miracle. God took the children of Israel through the wilderness, and every day through the wilderness, he gave them their daily bread. Well, that's not a bad thing to pray, is it, when you have your bit of toast in the morning and half a cup of coffee because you haven't got time to finish it and off you rush. Thank you, Lord, for my daily bread. Now get that on the agenda. And then there was another story. It was Elisha. Funny thing is, I had a quick look in a commentary this morning before I came, and it said it was Elijah, but it wasn't Elijah, it was Elisha. Now, you always get those two mixed up if you're not careful. All you remember is that J comes before S. Elijah comes before Elisha. Got it? J before S. They're pretty close to one another. One was trained by the other. And that experience was that a man came along and he saw the about 100 prophets. It was like a kind of Old Testament Bible school, I put it that way, where the prophets were getting used to being speaking forth in the name of the Lord. And Elisha was the sort of principal of the college, if you wanted to call him that. And Elisha received this bread, and it was 20 loaves for 100 men. Anyway, they handed it, shared it all out, and it increased. So this had happened before. This is not novel. And we knew that the Lord was going to fill the hungry with good things. It's going to happen again in the fulfillment and the satisfaction of people's lives when Jesus comes again. And here we are in the middle, having the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to think in a few weeks' time of the feeding of the 4,000. But that was on Gentile territory, and it's a bit different. This is on Jewish territory, and there were 12 baskets full left over. Because to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. To the Jews, so Jesus took it that way too. He was a minister to the circumcision, whereas Paul was sent to the uncircumcised Gentiles. And Jesus' ministry, which meets, of course, all the needs of both, if you like, 5,000 or the 4,000, which is coming up later, those two pictures of the Jews and the Gentiles being fed by Christ all have this business that it goes through the hands of the believers first, the disciples. Take it to them. Why doesn't God just drop more manna from heaven? Well, he's done that one. He doesn't like repeating himself too much. So this time he does it a different way. I wonder how he's going to do it through us in the future, when there's plenty to do to stop knife crime, like we were praying about. To love young people. To show them that they, without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of his love, they really don't know who they are. You know that by all the gender confusion there is. They don't know who they are. I know who I am because I trust God, and he's told me who I am. Am I made in his image? And made in his image comes before anything else. And I'm going to live that out if I can, by the grace of God. Not all this confusion that's being put into young people and into children, but the fact that God has made me as I am, and that is what I accept as data, as what's given. That's who I am. God made me. And God comes, I wonder if I can remember this, there's comes to my mind, Bonhoeffer made a statement once. He said, unless you first of all have a theology of God, you can never have a theology of right and wrong, of justice. Do you know that? You thought about that? Well, Bonhoeffer paid for it with being executed by Hitler. Great man, lovely believer, heart for Jesus. Unless you've got a theology of God, you will never have any theology of man, and of what is right and what is wrong. We've got a theology of God. Everything starts with God. Before any human beings were around, God made the heavens and the earth and the sky and whatever. That's a bit of the prayer that the Jews prayed, and I expect Jesus prayed when he sat down, when they all reclined on the grass. Rather nice that they noticed there was grass there, isn't that? It's a bit more comfortable to sit on the grass in the open air than it is to sit on rocks and, well, dusty roads and things like that, and places where there might be scorpions and who knows. It's better to sit on the grass. Might sit on a snake, of course, but anyway, we put those under our feet. Jesus told us to do that, so we've not too many problems. They sat down on the grass, and the disciples came and fed them from that which Jesus had thanked God for, and the bread was spread out. There are four words in the passage which occur in all four of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John accounts of the feeding of the 5,000. And also in the two accounts of the feeding of the 4,000. That's Matthew and Mark. And four times again in the upper room where he fed them with the bread and the wine. And once more on the Emmaus Road, where Jesus was prevailed upon to go into the house in the resurrection, and there they ate together, and before they ate, he took the bread, and he gave thanks for the bread, blessed God for it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to them. And those four words occur again and again and again and again. So I think this feeding of the 5,000 is also very much intimately interwoven with the Lord's table. And that Lord's table that God has given us to remind me of him as the one who did feed 5,000 through the servants that he had, the disciples. To remind me that God may do something really supernatural today, take me by surprise. That God wants people to be blessed. And the whole story begins with God's compassion. Jesus looked around with compassion. And with that love, he was motivated to serve. If you're filled with the compassion of God, you must want to serve. Service is something which we'd rather other people served us. But when we serve them, we are more Christ-like than when we're sitting there being served. When we're sitting there thinking we're something great and everybody ought to serve us or whatever. Or people running around us and they want our opinion about this and opinion about that. I won't mention the dreadful word, but whatever it is, for goodness sake, save us, Lord. We're not God. You are. I want to be a servant. Make me a servant to whoever and whomsoever and whatever. And if we got a great divide in this country, as well as a lot of anger and hatred and knifing and who knows what, when we get back to the beginning of a theology of God, who is love and who has compassion, Jesus had compassion and he said, you feed them. I want to hear that word clearly in my own heart today. In compassion, he said, you feed them. So I go to God. I ask Jesus to fill my hands with good things that I might feed others, specifically perhaps in this country, with spiritual good things. But of course you can do that as you also do other good things for people, to get something of the life of God into their hearts and something of the vision of love and compassion. Because left to ourselves, we haven't got it, have we? In touch with him, he can fill us all the time, every time, all the days, in every way. Do you want to serve? This is one great miraculous serving. And I don't think when those disciples took a little bit of bread and they went over to start to share it out with the... I don't know what they thought. Goodness, this is not going to go very far. And it did. It went everywhere. And you go and say, well, what I can do is so very, very little. But you do it. Filled up with the love of God in your heart, you find it starts to go everywhere. And it doesn't stop there either. It goes on and on and on. That is the wonderful God that we've got. Without him, what a miserable, unattractive, lacking of supernatural, lacking of the miraculous. What kind of a God have you got? One that fills your hands with good things to bless other people. And it'll take you by surprise that you did something and then it pops up and you see it again. One of the pastors came up to me and said, and gave his name. I won't give it in case I embarrass anybody. And he said, you prayed for me in such and such, and I couldn't remember who on earth he was, but he'd remembered. Why? Because I didn't think I had anything. But I prayed for him and he got something. And he remembered it. And he'll go on living under God of it. Isn't that great? What a super life God has given us. So ask him today to fill you with his compassion, fill you with his spirit, lead you day by day, wherever you go, You probably think you're going the same way as you did the day before because you're going, you get the train 9:50, whatever it is. You'll find that God will make it a pathway where something wonderful is happening way beyond your imagination. Amen?